stuff, but it missed good stuff. These are some of the songs we did the other night at the concert. Just songs that make your heart happy, all about love and Christmas. By the way, Merry Christmas, everybody. You can say that in this house.
Merry Christmas.
And we know that Jesus is the reason for the season. As I was saying last night, there's no greater name, there's no greater love than the Son of God did for us, for salvation for each of us. His words tell us to love one another. His words tell us to lift up one another. His words tell us just to do, and He'll just bless us with all that we do. You know, just, it's so beautiful, God. Would you all stand with us, please, everybody, rise, and thank you, Lord. And we'll do this for your friend. Hello, family. Good morning. Turn around and say hi to somebody. Say good morning. But all the places you could have been this morning, and all the things you could have done this morning, you got dressed and came to God's house. So if you came to God's house, say, I want to get something from God today. Just ask God to fill you. You came here today to receive, so let's receive together. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Be seated. Enjoy yourself in God's house. And thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo. He put that in there. Jesus put that in there, right? Forgive us our trespasses. As we what?
Forgive others.
Oh. See, that's the, everything else is nice. You know, heaven on earth, yeah, thank you, Lord. And lead us not into temptation. But he put that little part in there. Forgive us our trespasses. Only as we forgive others. That shall humble each and every one of us. We're going to have the Advent, the reading of the Advent. This is the second Sunday of Advent, preparation of peace. Take it away, ladies.
I'm
going to
read from Luke 1:26. Now, good morning, church. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting was this. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end."
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Woo. Thank the Lord.
Okay, now, we're going to relight the first Advent candle.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so today we relight the candle of hope and peace. Let this candle remind us of the great hope we have in Christ, the Messiah, and in God's promises. As we light the candle of preparation of peace, let it remind us to prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ.
Praise God. Marilyn and Yvonne, give them a nice hand. Make them feel nice too. That's all right. That's okay to say thank you and make somebody feel good. Amen. Welcome, brother. How are you? You and my friend in the back. Thank you for coming to our church today. Whatever brought you through the doors, we hope you receive all the joy and all the fellowship. And these people are crazy for God, so we love having you with. God bless you. Thank you for... And that's Deacon Bill back in the corner over there. He's our guy. So he was here when the church was being built.
Almost.
He likes you. Responsive reading. Remember this part when I read, David, this is really good. It's in this bulletin. This, when I read and then you read and then I read and then you read out loud. Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You brought back the captivity of Jacob. Oh, God. We can stop right there, folks. That's all we need to know. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you?
Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant your presence of salvation.
I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. Well, let them not turn back to folly. Praise God. Responsive reading, Psalm 85. That word mercy is so beautiful. We spoke about it last week. We all know that grace is unmerited favor, but his mercy, where he could punish us and he doesn't, he has the right to punish us and he doesn't because he loves us, that's his mercy. So we pray for forgiveness, but we pray for mercy even more, because without mercy there'd be no forgiveness. But God is so beautiful in that his mercy, as much as we fall short daily, he picks us up and stands us right again. That's his mercy, where he could punish us. And of course his grace, unmerited favor, that he gives to us, his people. Isn't that beautiful? That's the God of the Bible. I ask you all the time, who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want the promises of tomorrow at paradise? Who wouldn't want the blessings of Jesus? And who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want the static of noise and arguing and fighting? Nobody really wants that. We want peace and we want love. But we want it God's way. If we all did it God's way, imagine how different everything would be today. Amen? If we just listen to God. Praise the Lord. I think God is special. I might be prejudiced. I don't know. All right, the quiz. I'm glad you guys came today. I thought maybe we were going to miss you today, but we're glad. We got a quiz. Everybody ready for your quiz?
Yes.
Remember, nobody looks at anybody who gets the wrong answer. No, the people in the back do it all the time, Greg. You should see them. What did Samson do, according to the book of Judges, with the 300 foxes? He had 300 foxes. What did he do? Did he give them as a prize? Or did he tie their tails together, set them on fire, and release them into the Philistines' wheat field? Or did he send them to destroy the Philistines' vineyard? How many thought he did the 300 foxes that he gave them as a prize? Anybody? How many want to say he tied their tails together, set them on fire, and released them in the Philistines' wheat field? How many want to say sent them to destroy the Philistines' vineyard? He tied their tails together, set them on fire, and released them into the Philistines' wheat field. In the book of Judges. Gene, I'm so sorry, but you can't leave now. Oh, did you find humor in the Bible? You mean there's things you can read in the Bible that'll make you smile? Imagine that. You mean there's things in God's Word that you say, hey, that was pretty cool. Can you imagine that? In this little book. Fascinating, isn't it? According to Deborah, the prophetess, who would receive the glory for Sisera's death? Now we know that the Lord told Barak to go and he was going to put Sisera into his hands. But who got the glory for his death? Was it a prince? Was it a woman? Or was it Barak himself? Who got the glory for the Sisera's death? And according to the book of Judges, how many think it was a prince that got the glory? Anybody? How many want to think it was a woman that got the glory? How many think it was Barak that got the glory? Her name was J.L. Her name was J.L. She welcomed him into her house. He said, let me in, I need some water. She welcomed him to her house, gave him some water, let him lay down on the cot and go to sleep. She stuck a stake through his head.
That was my first wife.
I'm sorry, that's good stuff. I have a question for you. Who was Mear Shalah Hashbaz in the Bible? His name was Mear Shalah Hashbaz. It means swift to the spoil, quick to the plunder. Or it means speed, spoil, hasten, and plunder. So it actually swift to the spoil, quick to the plunder. His name was Mear Shalah Hashbaz. Was he Isaiah's student? Was he a warrior? Or was he Isaiah's son? How many think he was Isaiah's student? Anybody? How many think he was a warrior? How many think it was Isaiah's son? Oh. Mear Shalah Hashbaz means speed, spoil, hasten, and plunder, Isaiah's son. You can find that in Isaiah 8:3. Read about his, he had two sons. Praise God. How did Jonathan unwittingly break the oath the Israelites took at Beth Haven? Now, it was an oath that they took, and he unwittingly, which means he didn't do it on purpose, he broke the oath by sharpening his sword, by eating honey, or by polishing his armor. How did Jonathan unwittingly break the oath? I don't think by sharpening his sword. Anybody want? How many want to say by eating honey? Anybody? How many by polishing his armor? He ate the honey from the ground. Unwittingly breaking the trees that they had, the oath that they had together. We got one more for today, everybody. It's Christmas time. Herod the king told the wise men to send word to him once they found the young child so he could come and do what? He said to the wise men, you go and find the young child and then come and tell me so I could do what? To bring him gifts? To worship him? Or make him king? Now what do you think? Herod the king told the wise men to send word to him once they found the young child so he could come and do what? How many think to bring him gifts? He was going to bring him gifts. Or he was going to worship him. Anybody worship him? Or he was going to make him king. He told the wise men to go find the child according to the Bible so he could worship him. But did he want to worship him? No. The Bible says in Matthew he wanted to kill him. But he told the wise men he was going to do the other.
How'd you all do today? Good?
Yes.
Okay.
You guys are getting good. Set their tails on fire and send them in. Tie your tails and don't let... Don't let Petey get word of that, right? We'll all be in trouble. You know, we've talked the last couple of weeks about justice delayed. Amen? Remember when we talked about that? If somebody commits a crime, if somebody steals from somebody, hurts somebody, justice delayed is not a good thing, because when people get away with doing things and they have no penalty for it and they just find out that there's nothing to fear, that they continue to do what? They continue to do more. It's only human nature. If you have a heart to sin and you steal an apple from a store and you get away with it, you might go back and steal a whole bag of tomatoes. You don't. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, it said, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. The Bible says that justice delayed is not good for any of us. Amen? So we need to pray that this morning, Lord. We need to pray, Lord, that people see this and understand, Lord, that there's right and there's wrong. No matter what else, there's right and there's wrong, and morally right in your eyes, Lord. You say not to sin, not to murder, not to steal, not to covet, Lord. We have to hold on to these truths, because these truths, these moral justices, will keep us all safe. All of us safe. Every single one of us with moral justice will find us all being safe. So, Lord, I pray this morning that you hear our prayer, Lord, that you show us more, show us and bring it into our hearts and bring it into more spirits of people, Lord, that they just need to do right. And when they do right, Lord, so many blessings follow that. So, Lord, we understand now justice delayed is not good for any of us, because we all suffer with that. So, Lord, we pray the spiritual blessings that you bring with the Ten Commandments and your laws, telling us how to live and how to treat each other. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Oh, praise God. That would heal our whole world. But, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord, that we're going to pray about justice delayed. In Jesus' name, hear our prayer, Lord. Self-satisfaction, self-salvation. And we need to watch ourselves, amen? We need to not judge other people. Look at it. We need to look in the mirror. I always tell you that. You look in the mirror and you take care of that person. If you take care of that person, other things are going to be just fine. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, last week we said somebody left some pamphlets. How many remember that? Fred brought some pamphlets in with some other ministry ideas and some other things that they're talking about in the world today. I think there were four pamphlets. If anybody got to see them, Fred, do you remember what you brought? Concerning other beliefs, amen? It may be discouraging to some people. It may be worrisome to others. Anybody worry about that, Jim? You don't worry about that, do you? Praise God. You know why you don't worry about it? Because it's nothing new. Paul faced it and John faced it. God has seen this over and over again. A new idea, a new thought, a little tweaking of scriptures. That's what they're talking about, amen? They want to tweak the scriptures. How many have ever heard this from Corinthians? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You ever heard that expression? A leaven is a perverse influence that modifies or transforms. We don't want anybody transforming the Word of God, amen? We don't want anybody to modify this, to change this, amen? Because a little leaven, a little transformation can spoil the whole lump. You can do more harm to this book by transforming something because man wants it. A new thought, like all of a sudden one day God woke up and said, I forgot to tell him. Let me go to Jim. Jim, you tell him because I forgot to tell him. Or you know what? I didn't see this was going to happen. I didn't know they were going to have computers someday, so I got to go back and readjust my thinking. Trust me, God doesn't have to readjust anything. We got to do all the readjusting. What's that? Mutiny! Hallelujah. Praise God. No, it's we've seen it forever and ever. It's happening from the beginning of time. John's faced it, Paul's faced it, talked about it, had to deal with different things. Amen? It's nothing new. 1 John. I'm going to read from 1 John today, the three letters from John. How many know John? The one, the disciple whom Jesus loved. These three letters may be the last letters that were ever written that were into the Bible. And it's questionable whether he wrote this before or after Revelation. I believe he wrote it after Revelation, these three letters. Christianity was about 60 to 70 years old when he writes these three letters. They're in the back of your Bible right before Revelation. In those years, there were all sorts of efforts to combine the gospel. Amen? You all read the Bible. You know that, right? Paul faced it. Everybody faced it. With other philosophies and ideas. It started back in the beginning. Reading blended Christianity and worldly views accepted by man. How many want things accepted by God? I do. That's truly. That's all I want. They're pagan gods and Greek mythology and promoting prostitution and fleshly desires, they were all trying to get that into where? Into the scripture. They would say, one could sin in the body but be pure in the spirit. Listen to this, what they would try to tell you. That you can sin in the body, you can do whatever you want, but if you were pure in the spirit, you were okay. You know, sensual, mystic, magic. But say but with me, but. Still a part of Christianity. But the operative word in Christianity is what? Christ. So you have to be Christ-like. You have to follow who? Christ. Amen? So we don't follow philosophies. We didn't follow the things of man, trying to combine the gospel with other ideas. 1 John 1. It starts, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. John is talking to us about who, church?
Jesus.
Come on, who was he talking about?
Jesus.
Who did he love?
Jesus.
Who took care of his mother? John took care of Mary until she passed away. It was just John's desire for him to get every church involved,
get him on fire for God like he was. He loved Jesus with everything he had. And when he writes that. You can feel that he's writing that. He's saying, I love this man. Listen to what I'm saying. And there's a very interesting word in the first line. That was from the beginning. What does that mean? It means that God was before the beginning. We read the Bible, in the beginning he created, right? Amen? How many have read that in Genesis? In the beginning. But he was before the creation. He was. And God is. And that's a stumbling block for people. They don't understand it. If God created all this, but he must have been around before that. Amen? So John is saying from the beginning. So from the beginning he was. He just didn't appear at the same time of creation. That's interesting to think about. And I love what he's saying. The life was manifested. What does that mean? It means he was displayed, his appearance. He was exhibited. People saw him. And listen to what he said. We have seen him, and we bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. What does that mean? He said, I saw him. I saw his appearance. He was displayed. I touched him. I talked to him. I listened to him. I ate with him. I walked with him. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. And who is you? You. Thank you. That you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be what? Full. Praise God. You see something, and you know something that you see, you get so excited you want to tell somebody. You were there when somebody hit a home run at the ballpark. You were there when somebody, when Joe Montana threw a touch. You want to tell everybody because you were there. You get, John is trying to say, listen to me. I saw him. I was with him. I walked with him. I heard him. We ate together. We did all, and he's begging you to hear. And he uses a very, very wonderful word, fellowship. Say that with me, fellowship. What's fellowship? It's a relationship with God. God has made this possible, not man. Let me say that again. This fellowship with God was made possible by God, not man. No man ever created fellowship with God. It was God. This union is from God. Hallelujah. This union is from God. You can have fellowship, a relationship with God and the people. Look around you. These are our people. These are the people who came to hear the word today. These are believers. According to Hebrews, it says, not forsaking the fellowship that we have here. What does that mean? You can't just watch TV and say, okay, I did my Christly duty. You can't listen to a sermon on the radio and say, that's good. Watching TV sermons are wonderful. Listening to the radio is wonderful. But he said, not to forsake what?
Fellowship.
What does that mean? Don't forsake coming together. Because when you come together, we can lift each other up. Amen? We can help each other. If somebody's sad, we hold them. If somebody's happy, we rejoice with them. But when we have fellowship, when we come together, we can do all these things for each other. That's the house of God. Amen? That's the people. You're the people. You're the church. And he's saying, don't forsake this fellowship. But we have fellowship with God. Have you ever used it? Have you ever just talked to God? Riding in your car, thank him for something beautiful. You don't have to thank him for the big thing. Just look at nature. Look at a river. Look at the springs. During you go traveling in your car, you see so many beautiful things in nature. You see animals that you don't even know what they are. You say, thank you, Lord. What is that? Look at that bird with all the colors in there. What is that? That's a woodpecker. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Where'd that come from? God gave it to me. You can't take it home with you, Lily. I'm sorry. You can't take every animal you see home. When you talk to God, when you have fellowship with God, it changes who you are. If you're truly believing God and you're reading his word, listen to me, please. And you're reading his word, and you're truly listening, you can't be angry at anybody. You don't have the time to be angry. You know there's injustice in the world, so you give it to him. You give it to him, you pray to him. Amen? You give God, help me, Lord, to see what I can do to help that. Maybe, Lord, I can serve somebody. Maybe someday I can lead somebody. Maybe, Lord, I can teach somebody how to work harder at school. Or I can teach somebody how to be better at work. Or I can teach somebody how to have fellowship with somebody. I can do these wonderful things, Lord. But I don't have time to be mad, because when I'm mad, guess what happens? Nothing. When you're mad, nothing good happens for nobody. When you start yelling and screaming and pointing fingers at somebody, what is your cure? Nothing. When you reach out and hold somebody and you tell them that you love them or you're there for them, changes everything. When you say God bless you to somebody who doesn't expect it, you change their life. When you give them hope that comes from the Word of God, you give them hope to something they didn't have before. Amen? You open the door to them for all kinds of beautiful things. Remember what I told you about this Word of God in the church. Everybody is welcome into this building. I mean, because we all fall short. How many of us fall short?
All
of us. So you don't have time to look around. Amen? You don't have time. What are you looking around for? Oh, you think you're better than that person? Not. But when you have fellowship with God, I mean, truly, talk to God. I do it all the time. It's so beautiful. You know, I feel, what's the word? I don't know, David. I read the word all week long again, and I study it, and I feel so, like, wonderful. And I say, this is great. And I feel bad for you guys. No, because all week long, my heart is to put a sermon together or a Bible study. So I get to give to God all the time. You know, I talk to my wife and we share, but I get to be with God. I get to read His Word and read and study what His Word means. And then I feel like, wow, the more I learn, the more I read, the more knowledge I have, I can see Him brighter. Praise God, amen?
Amen.
Fellowship. How many have ever heard of the Antichrist? Can I get an amen from anybody? You heard about that? Gene, you heard about the Antichrist? There's 66 books in this Bible. How many books do you think have the word Antichrist in? Anybody? I think it's 5 of them, maybe. Maybe the Antichrist is mentioned in 10 of them. How many? 2. John 1. 1 John and 2 John. He's the only one that mentions the Antichrist. Now people think, who is this Antichrist? Oh, it's somebody that's going to come. Somebody that's going to come and speak against God. Amen? That's what they say. How many think the Antichrist has already been here? Many times. Anybody? How many think that there's more than one Antichrist? Anybody? John tells us plainly. 1 John 2:18. Write that down early. Little children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. You ready for this? Are you ready? Even now, many Antichrists have come. This is John, 70 years after Christianity, amen? And he's saying, this is the last hour. He said, you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and then he goes even further. Even now, many Antichrists have come. Well, what does many Antichrists mean, church? There's more than how many?
One.
Well, what is he going to do? Listen to what he says. He said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. He's saying that, yeah, the Antichrist started in church. He was a part of us. But he's not part of us anymore because he went out. He left us to follow another teaching, amen? He left us to follow another desire. He left us to follow another philosophy, another religion. He said they're not part of us, but they were part of us. Which makes you understand, anybody who talks about the Bible and says something wrong really knows what's in the Bible, everybody, amen? You understand what I mean? You have to know what's in it before you can start fooling people what's not in it. You see, the Bible says we lose our lives for lack of knowledge. My people fail because you don't know enough what's in here. But so you let somebody lead you. Oh, that sounds pretty good. That's the Antichrist, amen? And John is saying there's many of them already been around. They were not of us. They went out from us. Listen to what that means. They went out from us, which means they were part of our church, but they were not of us. They weren't listening. They weren't taking the Spirit in. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. He's saying if they got the Spirit of God inside, the Holy Spirit was inside of them, they would have went nowhere. Amen? Understand what he's saying. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Thank you, Lord. Who is, 22, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Let me read that again, 1 John 2:22. John is saying, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Amen? Listen to that. If somebody comes up to you and starts talking to you about some other way of getting to heaven, or Jesus was just this or was just that, you need to turn around and walk away. Amen? Don't argue with them. Don't fight. It doesn't do any good. You can't make a Yankee fan be a Red Sox fan. If they believe that, they believe it. But you have to listen. You have to listen with your ears. He's saying, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. And he said, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. And then he said, he who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. 1 John 4, it said, beloved, I love that. Anybody ever talk to your family like that? Beloved? Jimmy, you ever call somebody beloved? Isn't that beautiful? You want to end an argument in a hurry, call somebody beloved. Go to my wife, she's mad at me. I said, beloved wife, I love you. She could still be mad at me, but it's just like this, all of it's just, I can't be mad at you. You see, you saw that word mean something. You just read past it, beloved. What a beautiful expression. Don't use it at the waitress at the restaurant later because all kinds of trouble can happen with beloved. But he's talking to us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Whoa! But test the spirits. And the only way you can test them is to know the word, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Ready? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. That's important. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. So if you ever thought he was coming, don't worry about it, because he's already been here for thousands of years. He was here fighting with Paul and John and Peter and fighting with all the churches. And they continue to fight. There's nothing new that God hasn't seen, but they continue. Isn't that amazing? You think after 2,000 years, Satan would just say, I give up. Every time I do something, he knows about it. He's already decided. We win, amen? We win, Christians. And Satan, you think he can? No, you know why he doesn't give up? He's got too much pride. You see, he's got pride. I can do it. I'm going to fix it. And then Satan gains a little bit and gains a little bit and starts getting prouder. And all of a sudden, he falls off the cliff because he takes one step too many. And Christians finally stand up and rise up, saying we need God. Hallelujah. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Why is that important? I'll explain to you in a minute. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. Is what?
Not
of God. It's that simple. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Wow. Miss Marilyn, when I was doing my study on my computer, I didn't realize that the last scripture I gave you was from 1 John 2. Or 2 John, the letter.
Okay.
Because my computer just kept going. That's what I was trying to figure out. That's what it was. So 2 John 4, I'm going to finish with this here for the reading. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. Just remember that. Many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And antichrist is one of them. Look to yourselves, he said, that we do not lose these things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. How many want a full reward? He's saying, look to yourself. Look in the mirror so you don't lose the things you work so hard to get here, church. You've been coming to church, you read God, you're thanking God, you got all this work going for you. Don't lose it. You want your joy to be full. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. It's that simple. You can argue with me, you can argue with the Bible, you can say you don't agree, but that's fine. But I'm telling you what it says. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Hallelujah. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Wow. Amen? If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. So you wonder, what do I say to people sometimes? Just ask them who Jesus is. If somebody comes up to you with a different idea, a different religion, a different thought, you just say, well, who's Jesus to you? And you know immediately what they're going to say. Amen. When they say, you know, they're going to be exposed. And somebody always said, well, you think this is sin or you think that's sin? Is it wrong to do this? And I just ask them, my question is, do you believe in sin? Because if they don't believe in sin, they're just not looking for an answer. They're looking for a discussion. They're looking for a confrontation. If somebody said, how can you just say, do you believe in sin? Because we all sin. We all fall short. So you have to look in the mirror. But if somebody comes to you and said, Jesus was not the Son of God, he wasn't here in the flesh, he's a deceiver, amen? And God says not to receive them. It's that simple. You don't hate them. You're not mad at them. He said, don't receive them. Don't let that doctrine get inside of you. Amen. There were people back in the day that were called Gnostics. Anybody ever hear that word in the Bible when you read the Bible? Miss Jean, Gnostics, you ever hear of them? G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S. And they had Gnosticism. Gnosticism was their faith. They said God is detached from humanity, above humanity. God wasn't human. They denied the incarnation of God. He did not have a mortal body. These were Gnosis. Did you ever hear that word, Marianne? It's in the Bible. They talked about it. I'll tell you where you find it. You find it with Paul in Ephesians, and you find it in Corinthians. He talks about these people. And they had a doctrine called Docetism. D-O-C-E-T-I-S-M. Docetism. Christ's body was not human. It was phantasm, a celestial substance. Therefore, his suffering were only apparent. There was a false view of Jesus. This is what they brought. This is what they believed. Amen? In Greek, dokian means to seem. So the word docetism comes from the word dokian in Greek, which means to seem. Jesus seemed to have a human body. And John is begging you to understand, I saw him, I touched him, I walked with him, I saw his pain, I saw him. He's begging you. And here's the thing about these Gnostics. They claimed to be a place in the church. They wanted to have a place in the church. They wanted these beliefs, just like Luke had to deal with the Greeks, with the philosophy and the mythology and the Greek goddesses. They wanted that to have a part in the ministry in the church, in the Bible. And Luke said no. The Gnostics wanted to be a part of the church. They wanted to be a part of the Bible. They wanted to be included. And they complained loudly when they were denied. Imagine that. And this is back, you know, 70 years after Christianity was started. So don't 2021 think this is the worst we've ever seen. God has seen it all before. Can I get an amen? They all claimed a place in the church. They claimed a place, and they complained loudly when they were denied. I'm going to read something from Deuteronomy. I'll look at later. It's Deuteronomy 12. It starts at 29. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you're not ensnared to follow them. After they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their God? I will also do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods, for they will burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. You know, Fred always said, everybody thinks God is gentle and quiet and shy, but listen to that. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, that you do not inquire after their gods. Wow. How did these nations serve their God? You start saying, I will do also. I will also do the likewise. That's what the Bible is trying to tell you. You can't let that in, because you start to think. If one of these things, new ideas all of a sudden get into the Word or get into a church, and the church starts believing to the left or to the right, that's when disaster happens. Amen? We can't let that happen. You don't want that to happen. How many want the Word of God to be true, honest, and right? Amen? You want to be standing on solid ground, right? So this is the only book. that's in a stand now. And you don't want man messing it up or changing or putting a little leaven in the lump there, putting it so that this is changing, we'll change that. Oh, this isn't right. Well, God didn't know about computers. He didn't know we were going to have airplanes. God didn't know that we were going to do Twitter and Facebook.
Yes, he did. That's
what they did. Hallelujah. I read and I studied things that were on my heart, and I looked at a religion called interfaith. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's what I'm supposed to do. They have faith in goodness. They think that people can be good. All the Bible laws, all the words says we should be good to one another. Amen? You can find that we should be nice to one another and help each other. But there's one thing that the religion doesn't add in their doctrine. Anybody want to guess what that is? There's one thing that's not included in their doctrine. Because if it was included in their doctrine, it would destroy everything. God. God, if you know why? Because there's so many gods, now all of a sudden you can't get along because, well, that's my God and he's bigger than your God. No, so they said, let's not talk about God. Let's just talk about being nice to one another and helping and lifting each other. And then you can ask them, well, why does your faith kill people who have Bibles? If we're all interfaith and we're all going to get along, then why does your religion call people who read the Bible infidels and they should be dead? Why do you burn Bibles if we're all supposed to be? You see, that's the stumbling block. See, they don't have God, because once they mention God, there's the trouble, and there you are. They have a faith in people doing good. Is that a wrong thing? No, it's not a bad thing. We all want people to do good to one another, amen. But we want to stand on the Word of God. This is it. This is it for me. 10 years I've been with you. This is it for me. I learn more every week. And this is it. This is the truth. You can live by it or not live by it. You can listen to it or not listen to it. You can follow it or not. I said last night that Jesus said narrow is the gate. Well, it's only narrow because there's one way in. What's the way in?
Jesus.
And what does Jesus give us? Salvation, amen? And forgiveness and mercy and grace. I ask you again, who wouldn't want this? That's what confuses me in the world. Who wouldn't want this? I don't care what kind of life you're living. I don't care what you believe, how you're living. You come into God's house and you feel like these people really believe the Bible and they're really praying people. I feel safe here because they won't harm me. Because they read the Word of God. They know the Word of God. Even though they don't agree with what I'm doing, they won't hurt me because they trust God. They're one being, they'll lift me up. They'll help me. They'll hold me. They won't accept, you don't have to accept the sin, but you take the sinner and wrap them in love, amen? You leave the rest to God. Let me say that again. You leave the rest to who? God. They don't need your opinions. How many like to give opinions? They don't need your opinion. You just bring them to God. But these people need to know that you walk into this church where people are praying like we're doing and talking about Jesus and talking about the Word of God and believing and praying for all things, that the safest place is right here. Because we can't hate anybody. We can't nothing anybody except love them. And accept them, amen? Accept them in their faults. Because I'm going to ask you again, how many people have faults in this church? Thank God. If you had to be pure and clean before you went to church, churches would be even empty. So I tell you that Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way, but it's so much more than that. I tell you again, the fellowship with God is just absolutely essential for you. Not for me, because I have fellowship with God. Amen. I try to fellowship with him more. Do I fall short every single day? But I have fellowship with God. I'm telling you that if you got into that fellowship with God, you stop hating people, you stop being mad at people, you start loving people, and you start helping people. And you know, I said that one time, you teach somebody how to love and they learn how to love. You teach somebody how to be kind and they learn how to be kind. You teach somebody respect and they learn how to be respected. They can give you respect and receive respect. But you teach somebody to serve. Teach somebody to serve and they will become heroes. Because those who serve, amen, help others. They don't fight with others, they serve others. When you serve somebody, you help them. You guide them. You give them hope. You give them a reason to fight on, amen? You serve them. You lift them up. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that better than judging people and arguing with people and all that other stuff? See, God isn't just stuff. This Bible isn't stuff. It's real for your life. You say, well, I'm 70 or I'm 80. What? So you want to have a great life, right? You want to be good? You want to teach your grandchildren. And they say, why do you go to church? You got to have an answer for them, amen? How many got kids that don't go to church? How many got grandkids that don't go to church? I'm telling you, because we keep giving them the wrong answers. They're hungry to know the truth, but we're too just lackadaisical to talk about, well, you don't talk about God, do you? I want to talk about God all the time. Because it's good. I want to lift up people all the time. My wife will tell you, I go to, you know, there's people on the corner serving, and I go, thank you for serving. Thank you for being a waitress. Thank you for being open today. And they look at me like I'm nuts. I don't care. I don't care what they do. I say, thank you. They hear that. Trust me, you might not realize it, but they hear that. Now I got just a little time left. I said I'm going to read the most beautiful prayer that I can hear in the Bible. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Starts with this. It's in the Gospel of John, 17th chapter. It starts with verse 6. Jesus talking to his Father. He said, you have glorified glory when I had with before you when the world was. Oh, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. And then he says this. Father, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given to me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. When it says they have received, it means it just like I'm asking you this morning. Receive this word into your heart. Receive it. Don't let it bounce off. Receive it. They received it. And then he says this prayer. Are you ready? He says, Father, I do not pray for those alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love which you love me may be in them and I in them. That's got to be the most beautiful prayer. Jesus talking to his Father about us. I do not pray for all that you gave me, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Hallelujah. To everybody sitting in this house right now, understand what Jesus is saying. I do not pray for these alone, but also those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And he continues, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. Hallelujah. And that they may behold my glory which you have given me. Hallelujah. For you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known you that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare that the love which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The most beautiful prayer. Give God praise, church. Well, I don't know if you're moved by that, but I am. The
first time I read that, I was moved by it. Every time I read it, I get more of it. Somehow the light shines brighter on those words. In the book of John, chapter 17, Jesus praying for you and praying for me, that we would be with him and see his glory. What else? What else would you want? Amen. The people that have gone before us who love God, they're there. Amen. What a blessing. What a beautiful thing you wanted. There's no greater gift you would want those people that have gone before us, our parents and our families and our friends, to know that they're there. What a great gift. What a great way to just say thank you, Lord, for answering that prayer. He's called us all to that. For those who will believe his word. Thank you, Lord. Took the bread, blessed and broke the bread. Said, this is my body being torn for you. Hallelujah. I'm going to be torn for you. I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to take every beating, every stripe. I'm going to do it for you. And all he asks us to do is do this in remembrance of him in Jesus' name. Pastor Larry, before you do the Lord's Supper, we have to be cleansed. And I said, you know where you're going. So we pray this morning, Lord, forgive us for our iniquities of this week, this day, this hour, the moments coming here today, anything that, Lord, separated us from us, anything, Lord, that we need to change, any iniquities, any flaws in our thoughts, our fears. We doubted, Lord, we worried, Lord, we didn't give it to you, Lord. Forgive us, Father. Cleanse us this morning, Lord, so that we may receive the sacrament, Father. That we can be cleansed to receive this. Because he poured the wine into a cup. And he said to them, this is my blood being shed for you according to the book of Matthew for the remission of your sins. And all he says is, please do this in his name in remembrance. In Jesus' name, church. Name above all names. Name above all names. Somebody comes up to you and you just say, tell me about Jesus. I want to know about Jesus. How do you feel about Jesus? It sounds simple. It sounds easy. It sounds silly in a way. But that's what you do. I want to know how somebody else thinks about Jesus. That's what's important. What's in their heart. There's a song, I don't know if anybody's ever heard it, and I can't sing it because I start crying as I sing it. It's about a fellow who passes away and goes to heaven. And he sees the beautiful heaven. And he sees the glory of heaven. And he sees Timothy. And he sees Mark. And he sees Luke. And he's just so... And he's looking around. He said, what's wrong? He said, but I want to see Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, I want to see Jesus. I'm here. And where is he? Where is he? I want to talk to him. I want to hold him. I want to look upon him. And I get to that song and I just... My wife was there. I can't get through it because the thought of it, the thought of this man being in paradise, seeing all these beautiful people in the Bible and seeing all the glory of heaven and the beauty of heaven, and his only thought is, where is Jesus? Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day. Thank you for everybody in attendance this morning, Lord. We are so humbled, Lord, this little church bringing people in, a foundation and a family, Lord, having fellowship, not just with one another, but with you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that whatever we spoke today, something reached in. Something got stuck and something's going to stay, Lord. That they're going to have fellowship with you. They're going to talk more to you. Because the more they talk to you, the less they can be angry about something. The more they talk to you, Lord, the less they can be frustrated. Because, Lord, you've gotten us through all these years. Somebody said they're 70 to 80 years old. And God, you've done a lot of work. You've already done a lot of work. But we forget. We forget the prayers that you've answered to get us to 70 or 80 years old. Lord, we're not going to forget anymore. Thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for everybody in this church this morning. Lord, I pray their spirit gets lifted up. I pray something inside of them wants more of you. Not more of me, not more of my word, but your word, Lord. Wants to dig deeper and draw closer to you, Lord. Because that's what truly changes us. And we can help one another. And we can serve one another. Because that's what saves our home and our community and our families, Lord. That we serve and we just lift each other up. In Jesus' name I pray. Give him praise, church, this morning. The concert last night was absolutely amazing. I loved every second, every song of it. I just had a great time. I was so nervous before it started. I was nervous during it. I was nervous after. Because we just want it to be right for y'all. We want the word and we want the songs to bring you smiles, to bring you Christmas. I want you all to have Christmas like we did when we were growing up. I remember Derby, how it looked at Christmas time with the tinsels going across Elizabeth Street and down Main Street and the people and the stores and the music and all the places that I got to enjoy as a child. I don't ever want to forget the joy of Christmas. Amen? I want that joy for you. I want you to remember as a child what it meant and enjoy it with your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Enjoy it. Enjoy it with one another. We got a couple here that got married just a few months ago. Imagine that. They got a lot to be thankful for this Christmas. They're going to wake up this Christmas together. Something they never did all the years. They're going to wake up this Christmas morning together. I pray that the first thing they say to each other is, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for bringing you into my life. I thank God for my wife every single day. Do we have disagreements? Absolutely. Am I wrong once in a while? Absolutely. Is she wrong once in a while? Nope. But I love her with all my heart. If I told you the things she does for me, she'd be embarrassed. But you tell you, you don't really do that, man. Yeah, coffee and bread in the morning, coffee and bread in the morning. Make my coffee, shine my shoe, yeah. I mean, a woman is just a walking wife. That just, these other women, you make breakfast for John. There you go, John. See, you got to be thankful for.
Yes, I make French toast.
You make French toast? Has anybody ever been invited to Aunt Marie's for French toast in the morning? Well, just invite one of us at a time. You know, I'll bring the pancake syrup. Somebody else will bring the eggs, and somebody else will bring the bread.
Yeah.
I think great week. You go over to Aunt Marie's for breakfast. Praise God. Any other announcements?
God bless America. Land that I love. Stand beside.
Talk to God.
Good job.